Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. What a glorious day, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It's summer.
Yes. Ding!
It's so distracting, really.
Yeah, it really is. You just want to sit outside.
Totally counterproductive to getting anything done.
Well, and then I have an excuse today. The water's off in so much of our county, you know,
I know.
including our house. And so I can't lift a finger. I don't have any water. I have to sit outside.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, repairs underway.
Yes.
So it's a temporary inconvenience, but it does make one appreciate having water.
Yeah.
And also it makes you realize how little you can cook without any water at all.
Yeah. Well, and a big thing for me is just cleaning up. Even when you go through the 3 days of boil water orders afterwards, I mean, do I really want my dishes cleaned in water that has sterilized dirt in it? I mean, I just don't. So, yeah, that's the big thing.
Well, you're off the hook for the foreseeable future. Oh, man, that's a handicap. When I think about things things that I'm grateful for, aside from family and a place to live, it's hot water.
Yeah.
It's one of my, like, I'm so, I appreciate it so much every time it happens.
Yes.
What have you been cooking?
Well, I've actually been cooking a decent amount of stuff because I have been breaking rules.
What?
I have this rule that if I'm going to make a recipe, especially if it's from somebody that I respect, you know, or a source that I respect, that I'm going to make it the way it's written the first time, you know?
Yes, of course.
But then that, then that makes me sometimes not make it because I don't have everything. And then it's just, is it worth it going and getting everything? You know what I mean? So I've been breaking my rules. And it may be that rule is there for a reason. It's what I've learned because I've made some pretty simple things lately. I've just really been into the New York Times. You know that I'm just very suggestible. Their email comes every day. I'm like, yeah, I will make that. But I made their pasta with burst cherry tomatoes, and it's a lot like something that I make a lot, where you just saute up some onions and garlic and tomatoes and basil, throw pasta in it, a little bit of cheese, and call it dinner.
It is dinner.
Lots of pepper, But this used mint instead of
and basil.
Basil, which, and I really like mint, and I happen to have a metric ton of it. And so it's pasta and pancetta, garlic, cherry tomatoes that you saute till they burst, and some ricotta cheese and mint. And I had ricotta, but I didn't have pancetta, so I used bacon. And the thing was good. I think I like my basil, the one that I make all the time, better. But the bacon, I shouldn't use bacon instead of pancetta because the whole thing was just kind of greasy.
I wonder if Canadian bacon, something I often have, would be a better sub for, because it's not as fatty.
Yeah. And so that was a little bit of a mistake. But yeah, it was good. But like I said, I'll just keep making that other thing. And then I made, did you see they sent out that email about their best gazpacho?
Yes.
So it was an email that the New York Times.
Oh, and it's got like 300,000 five-star reviews.
Well, 15,000 five-star reviews, which is a lot, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is a lot.
Do you review anything, recipes or products online? Do you review?
You know what? That's a good question. I think the thing that I'm most likely to review are cookbooks.
Uh-huh.
And so, recipes I don't so much, but cookbooks I do. And so that's probably the thing that I review the most. But I made this gazpacho, and you know how I've been breaking the rules. So I couldn't find a Cubanelle pepper, but it says you can use an Anaheim. So I used an Anaheim. That was fine. It said to use ripe red tomatoes, and I just thought they were just using the word red because it was fun to use. I mean, so I think the best tasting tomatoes you can get right now are those Brandywines, you know?
Oh, right.
So those are those ones that are kind of brown and green striped, and, and they're an heirloom tomato. They're not that big. Sometimes they can get real big, but these weren't that big, and they were ripe. And so I used those just because for sure they would taste the best of, you know, what was out there. And then it said you could use small mild onion. Well, I only had a large, and you could use white or red. Well, I only had a large red onion, so I cut it in half. But those are purple, you know. So what happened was, and this gazpacho, you also, sorry, I should think before I talk, but I haven't up till now. So I like white wine vinegar a lot better than sherry vinegar.
Okay.
So I use that instead of the sherry vinegar, and all that was fine. But because I used the red onion and because I used the brown and green tomatoes, the whole thing just looked like some kind of, you know, 18th century porridge, horrible thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty. But you just blend the bejesus out of it. It says to blend it for 2 minutes and then to strain it afterwards. And I followed their instructions. Like it said to use 8 inches of cucumber, and I did. You know, they had pretty specific amounts, and it has a really good flavor. But this is like totally a personal thing. I don't like that incredibly pureed texture.
I don't either.
Yeah,
like I that, like chunky.
Yes, like that chunky. Vichyssoise kind of, you know, asparagus soup kind of texture. I don't hate it, but I just don't prefer it, you know? And so there was that thing. I made it twice. And so I did learn that the Brandywine tomatoes were my problem and the red onion, that it's much, much prettier if you don't use those. Mm-hmm. But the texture was a thing. And so the gazpacho that I normally make, I think I would probably be more inclined to make that just because it's chunky and that's what I like.
Well, and couldn't you just, if you like this recipe, just not puree it? You know, just really fine mince.
Yeah, and people said that, but they also, you know, I always read the comments. That's what's fun about the New York Times is the comments are always good in the recipes. But so many people said that you make it and then, you know, it's very pureed and then you strain it. And then that's the thing that is the finesse. That's the thing that causes all the flavors to come together, you know.
Okay.
And so I didn't test that, but anyway. I thought it was really good. And I think that it would be best if it was like a cocktail, you know, like almost made like something sort of Bloody Mary-ish out of it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was really, really good. That would probably be a really good thing. Or maybe if I wasn't, I'm so used to gazpacho being like a meal.
Yeah.
If it was just a little cup of something and then a different main course.
Well, texture is, if the flavor is fabulous, texture is the easiest thing to fix.
Yes.
Because you can tweak it, you know.
Yes, yeah. Well, and then that's, for me, so apparent in coleslaw. I make a coleslaw with shredded cabbage, and if I make it with chopped, it's just not right for me. It's just, it's so weird, but it's just, everything is exactly the same, but the texture is just wrong.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny what we like.
I know. What have you been cooking?
I've been cooking, well, let's see. Most recently, I cooked salmon because springers are out there, spring run.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You're lucky if you got one.
Oh, my gosh. So delicious. Kind of like eating a really extra, specially delicious cube of butter. I mean, they're just so good. Anyway, I didn't mess with it.
Okay.
I just pan fried it skin side down and with a little garlic butter, salt and pepper. That's it. It was so good. But the thing is that I wanted to clean out my never ending quest to clean out my crisper.
Hospice.
I wanted to use everything while it was still tolerable, so I did a little stir fry kind of thing on. I was using my flat top for the salmon, and I wanted to do the veg on the same thing so that I only had that one thing to wash.
So smart.
And I just used some, I had some sprouting broccoli, and I added some sugar snaps and garlic and oyster mushrooms and some red onion.
Sounds really good.
It was really good. And I just stir fried it with oil. And when everything was almost done, I just threw on a pat of butter and a dollop of soy sauce, which is kind of like the magic easy. We call it a sauce, but really, come on. But it was just so good with the fish. It was just really good.
Smart.
So, and also now I can actually fit all of the vegetables in my crisper.
Yay!
Often there's a few things, you know, that had to take a number.
Overflow. Overflow so, parking.
Yeah, right, exactly. So now everything fits.
Yay.
But there are so, you know, there's such abundance right now of produce.
Yeah.
It's just so inspirational. Really, really. I think I'm going to do some gochujang chicken tonight, or just chicken thighs with a gochujang sauce, or maybe a harissa glaze.
Nom.
And call it good, because it's easy and fast, and who wants to be in the kitchen on a really nice sunny day?
Do you ever use that spice mix zhug? Z-H-U-G?
I love zhug.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I need to look it up. I was looking up berber. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it?
Berber or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking that up today because I don't want spice mixes. I got enough spices.
Oh, you want to be able to make the mixes?
Yeah, and I found a recipe for it, and I have everything. It's got like 150 different spices in it. I have 149. The only thing I don't have is fenugreek seed.
Okay.
And I'm tempted to just start making my own spice blends in a small quantity, because I have a tray on my kitchen counter that's got all of my spice bottles in it, and I love having that, but I don't need anything that's going to like not fit on the tray, mm-hmm. because really.
So I am a little different, I think, because I have my spices on the side of my refrigerator,
right.
in little tin containers that have a lid with a clear plastic top. So you can see in there, stick a label with a label maker on it. And I like having the spice mixes made up because I am more likely to use it. If I have to make harissa for a dish, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do something else. So, but I like it, you know, and I like zhug. And so I have them all made up. And then I just have to take that. And like you taught me so often, like dips with roasted vegetables are good. And all it is, the dip is you just take mayonnaise and mix it with something, curry or zhug or harissa. And it's just so good.
It is so good.
And so if I can just take that, go glop into some mayonnaise, mix it up and have a dip, I'm just so much more likely to do it. So that's why I have them.
Yeah, I get it. But but I don't have it.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see it both ways.
I made your corn salsa.
You did?
Yeah. Did I tell you about that?
No. Oh. But it is. We've had some really good corn lately.
Yes. Yes. So, just Marianne has a good corn salsa recipe, and I like it. It has red ovens. It has red ovens, red onions, and avocado, which I tried to make one word. Avocado plus onion equals ovens. Right. And then jalapeno, and it's just good. Anyway, so everything was just going wrong. I peeled the corn and it was white.
Oh.
And that's just not that pretty, you know, white corn with red onion, and because white corn, it's just so pale and pasty and sick looking, you know.
White.
It tastes good, but anyway,
tastes really
it's
good.
Just not vibrant like yellow corn. So sometimes when you grill white corn, it gets a little yellow, just a little. Anyway, so I grilled it, and I thought, you know, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
And anything just to make it not look pasty if I put a little, you know, grill marks on it. And I cut it off the cob, and I made the salsa. But what happened was I didn't perfectly clean my cobs, you know. It had some silk on it. And when I grilled it, those got fried, and it looked like pubic hair in the salsa. It was so awful. Dale called it pubic corn.
Oh, my God.
It was so awful. And it's not like there was so much of it, but it was just impossible to pick out, you know. And I was having company, and so you have to, like, start the meal with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
A big disclaimer about the corn.
Oh, shoot.
Anyway, that was a
visual
failure.
We are in the sweet corn heaven right now, and having it just fresh off the cob, not cooked, is so easy and delicious that it, you know, feel like we should eat it every day.
And that's
but you know, I you saying that it's hard to get all the silk off, it really is.
Yeah.
I have read and never tried that if you microwave it briefly in the oven in its husks and everything, that it, you peel it and the silk all comes right off.
Oh, really?
I've never tried that.
Okay. No, I have no idea.
But maybe somebody out there has tried.
Well, and the silk doesn't offend me unless, of course, I've grilled it and I'm serving it to company.
Ay-yi-yi. Well, what my takeaway from that whole thing is, don't have company for dinner.
Yeah, ever again.
Yeah, just don't.
Then I don't have to clean my house.
Problem solved.
We can wallow.
This nonsense of food talk is co-sponsored by North Coast Food Web and KMUN Community Radio. If you have not already heard, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org are two very fabulous websites that you should visit. I'm saying you should visit. And if you have visited in the past and you forgot about them recently, revisit. It's all kinds of good things happening in those places.
Yeah.
So, what's next?
Well, I made, like I said, I haven't made anything of any consequence, but I made some egg sandwiches like I saw on the internet.
Yeah.
And okay, so picture this, if you will.
All right.
So you have like maybe an 8-inch skillet.
Yeah.
And then you make like a little thin omelet, just some scrambled eggs, put it in there, don't move them around. And then you take two pieces of bread, so they are the flat ends together.
Okay.
And then you just put them in there and then cook them with the eggs. And then when you are done cooking the eggs, you take it out there and then you just flip the bread together so the egg is folded in half and inside.
Yeah.
And then you do some other folding and get the egg in there. And so it was just kind of a really handy way to have a sandwich that didn't slip all apart, you know?
Yeah.
So I tried it and I did it twice. The first time, I mean, it was okay, but to flip it over and try to toast the other side of the bread, the egg got too rubbery and it just wasn't right. And so the second time I made it with toast. I toasted the bread first, and that worked a lot better for me. And then also, I didn't use anywhere near. I think I used two eggs before, and that was just way too much.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I used closer to like 3/4 of an egg, just really a small amount of egg, so that it was much thinner, because you fold the edges in, and then you fold the egg in half, and it gets larger. It was just way too large the first time. And then you can put other things in there, avocado and salsa or anything, uh-huh. whatever you want in there, cheese or meat.
It doesn't have anything on the bread.
No. They didn't have anything on the bread, and I'm okay. sure that you could. But no, they didn't have anything on the bread, and it was fine that way for me. And so I liked it. I just thought it was just something different. But
yeah.
The thing about egg sandwiches is they always slide apart, and this just didn't slide. So,
I see that technique on Asian cooking, like street food, people who are cooking street food.
Okay.
I see that version of... And they're doing it on flat tops so they can just, it's easy for them to fold and everything and put a slice of ham and some cheese or whatever inside. Yeah. It's a classic.
Yeah. I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It tickled me.
Stone fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Had some really good plums the other day.
Did you?
And that made me go, oh, it's like corn. Oh, it's finally really good. So, yeah, now I'm thinking about stone fruit because peaches.
Yeah. I haven't had a good peach yet. Have you?
No, but the plums that I had came down from Yakima. And as they get Yakima, Hood River, that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. then everything starts being good.
Okay.
You know, that's so what
exciting.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, it is so exciting. So that's good. And tacos, tacos, tacos. I don't know. I'm on a taco thing.
They're such a perfect food.
They are. And they, you know, I did steak tacos the other night for dinner. I do breakfast tacos a lot. My husband just thinks that it's the most fabulous meal, but it looks really good because you have all these, you know, like I take a dinner plate and put a zillion little dishes of stuff on there.
Okay.
And then just hand him a packet of warm tortillas and a plate with the actual meat and veg in it. And he can do what he wants. So it's like the interactive dinner, but it's so simple and it's almost all prep, which I think I have said 2 million times on this program that my favorite part of cooking is the mise en place and the prep.
Yeah,
I like that more than cooking.
Yeah.
So I'm loving tacos lately.
They are just perfect. I like them too. That's what I was making when I was making your pubic salsa.
I've got to go in and revise the title of that, that recipe. I know people will love it even more.
Well, I had a subpar watermelon, but that's kind of what you would expect, you know, pretty soon they'll be really good. But I don't even remember where I found this recipe, but it was for feta watermelon bites. Was that the New York Times too?
No, I don't know, but I have done a feta watermelon salad with mint and blah blah, and it was fab. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had some feta, and it was not yet feted, so I thought I'd use it. And the recipe called for 1/4 cup of honey, 2 tablespoons of white balsamic vinegar, and then 2 teaspoons of red pepper flakes, mint, of course, like you said, honey and pistachios. The mint and the pistachios and the hot honey just go on top of the watermelon. But I already had hot honey, so I just used that. And then I didn't have white balsamic, so I had regular balsamic, and I used that. Just like I said, I'm breaking the rules now. And it was good. The pistachios crushed on top were unnecessary and expensive.
Yeah.
But I have almost like I almost hold a grudge against nuts in things, which is, I know that it's not common, not like in baked goods or anything, but sometimes just when everything else, I understand people put them in there for crunch, but sometimes I don't want crunch.
Right, exactly. And watermelon salad is one of those times, I think.
Yes. And when they're in something watery, then they just get mealy, you know? Yeah. And so I didn't appreciate those. So I would leave them out next time. But I liked the hot honey and the feta and the mint and the watermelon together. I thought that they were good.
Yeah. And a little vinegar.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yum. I love watermelon salads.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love watermelon, but I have to hold out. I think I've already done way too many screeds in print and on the radio about seedless watermelon, so I won't go there anymore. But I do wait for the Hermiston melons with seeds.
Yeah,
I will wait. I can be patient.
Yeah, so exciting.
I know.
My they grow a lot of watermelon in Illinois. That's where my mom was from.
Oh.
And when she was growing up, they would just eat, you know, that middle, I don't know, if the eye of the watermelon.
The heart.
Yeah, that heart where there's no seeds. Yeah. That's all they would eat. They would throw everything else away. Yeah.
Wow. That's all that is eat. Some sort of lavish approach to watermelon.
Well, and I don't think it was lavish. I think it was just that they weren't like waste conscious, like as a whole, like agricultural region. And then that was the best part. And that's just what they would eat because they had such a surfeit of it. You know?
But, yeah.
But
how would that be? A whole summer of watermelon hearts.
Yeah.
Oh. Have you ever made watermelon pickles out of the rind?
No. And I don't even know if I've ever had them because the idea just doesn't appeal to me. What do you think of them?
I think they're candy, but I have never made them, but I have had them gifted to me over the years by different people who always make them. And I'm a fan of sweet pickles. I'm a fan of pickles, but I really like sweet pickles and bread and butter pickles, which are also candy. And that's very much what these are like. They have crunchy texture, but not as crunchy as if you just ate a chunk of the rind plain.
I think that's what I was envisioning, and it just sounded like a lot of work.
No, they're just a pickle. They're like a crunchy pickle, but they're really sweet and quite lovely, and I'm never going to bother to do it. I just wait for them to come my way. That's all.
Did you make anything for the 4th? I know how much you love holidays.
Oh, I do. Especially big, loud, noisy ones. Bombastic ones that go on for days ahead and days after. Thank you, neighbors. Thank you so much. On behalf of my dogs. How do your dogs do with noisy holidays?
Oh, you know, it was really hard this year because the Civil War reenactment was going at the same time. So all day is cannon fire and then all night is fireworks.
Yeah.
Normally I make just like everybody else does, like ribs and coleslaw and potato salad for the 4th of July, but around here, because everybody makes ribs, it's kind of hard to get ribs, you know. So what I did is, and I am like just so stupid in the morning. So I had to deliver some cakes to Warrenton. You know, I bake for a living. So I was going to go to a restaurant supply store at the same time and get some ribs. So I get to Warrenton and I forgot the cakes.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I'll just go to the restaurant supply store. But then I forgot money too. Oh. But I had a debit card. So I got some ribs and I got home. And I remember the day, it was June 30th, which is, you know, a fine time to start shopping for that. And then I got home and I looked at it and their use by date was 7/1 tomorrow. And pork. Like beef, if it's cryovac, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room. But pork, you have 25 days and that's it. And you know that if it says the use-by date is tomorrow, that this is the 24th day, you know. You have 25 days. That is it. And so it was 3 racks of ribs because we were having a big picnic, you know. And so I had to cook them that day. And then we just gnawed on them. We finally got done with them on last night. I mean, I gave one rack to Dale's boy, Ian, and it was just so many ribs. Oh, and so then for the 4th, we just had salads.
Please don't make us eat any more delicious ribs. Oh, gosh.
But I just felt so stupid. I mean, I forgot the cakes, I forgot money, and I forgot. I always look at dates, you know, on what I buy. I always look at dates. But
I have done that so many times with sell-by dates. And you're right. Some products, it doesn't really matter. It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
Some things are, you know, I just read this thing recently where your sell-by on eggs, they're already 30 to 60 days old by the time you get them at the store if you're buying them at a supermarket.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've been, they've been harvested and sanitized and packaged and shipped to a warehouse, and they sit there until it's their turn to go. And so that sell-by date is way past when they were actually, those eggs were laid, unless you are lucky enough to have local eggs, which we are. So I don't worry about eggs. I get local eggs. They sit on the counter a dozen at a time, and I use them up in, over a period of a few days, and they're fabulous. But other things, you know, like Springer salmon, you get that out of the water, you cook it.
Oh, yeah.
Right then. So anyway, you were, I don't know where I was going with that, other than I'm with you on the forgetting things.
Oh, my God.
And I have my external hard drive is my husband, who puts me in the car no matter where I'm going, no matter when I'm going. He stops what he's doing. And if I have enough, you know, if I'm nervy enough to go put myself in the car, he will show up, open the door of the car, and look at me like, what are you doing? But he also runs through the checklist at the door of the house before I leave. Phone, keys, wallet. Phone, keys, wallet. Phone, keys, wallet. Yeah. So I don't have to worry about that.
Can I tell you my favorite part of this show?
What?
Where you're like, oh, I don't know where I was going with that. Where was I going with that? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I'm with you on forgetting.
Yeah, that's
I'm laughing
so
with you.
I forgot my favorite part. Linda Perkins, we're out of time.
Oh.
Thank you so much. And sing us out, would you?
I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. Remember, you don't have to do exactly what the recipe says, but sometimes you'll be disappointed.
Thank you, Linda Perkins. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye, Marianne.